Good evening, Star Wars nerds. This is Nerd11 reporting in. So we are now the second day after the opening weekend of The Last Jedi. Just some things that I was thinking about. A lot of things that I've heard, and some people have said this, and I have felt the same way too, was that the one piece of the movie that kind of felt out of sync with everything else was everything that happened on Canto Bight with Rose and with Finn and DJ. It felt disjointed from the rest of the film, and I do believe that it was setting things up for either future films or things later on, especially with the very end of the movie, right before the credit rolls, we see the stable boy, or some people would like to call him Broom Boy, who ends up using the Force to pull the broom to him, and Rose demonstrating her ring that senators used to use in the Age of the Rebellion to show who supports the rebellion and who now supports the resistance, and that, you know, bringing DJ in may be another foil who will turn up in 9. Who knows how they're planning on using them. But one of the things with regards to that Pablo Hidalgo tweeted out yesterday, actually. This was his tweet. He says, "Unsolicited pro tip. If something doesn't seem, on the surface, to move the plot forward, try looking at what it might be doing to character. For example, Luke rushes off to save his friends in Empire Strikes Back, only to need rescuing himself and thus further endangering his friends." So, taking that perspective and kind of looking at things with Canto Bight, I do see where this is character development for Finn. Meeting someone like DJ who explains to him, yes, you know, these are bad people, but you know what, this is just part of the machine, and you have two choices in life. You can either be a cog in the machine, or you can stand outside the machine and just use the machine to your advantage. And that's kind of like what DJ does. He's neither good, he's not bad. He just games the system to do what's best for himself. He is a chaotic, neutral individual. He doesn't care if it's going to further things in the galaxy. He's just doing what's best for him. And it kind of shows that to Finn when they steal the ship that they're using to leave Canto Bight. That the individual who is an arms dealer was not just selling arms to the bad guys, the First Order, but also to, oh, look, the good guys, the Resistance, by selling them X-Wings and other things like that. So, but at the same token, it developed his character even further as to deciding on taking a side, because Rose shares her life story and demonstrates it by showing Finn, if you look closer, just underneath the surface of this whole beautiful planet, you see that everything here is built on war and the suffering of others, such as the stable boys and the Thopseers. And ultimately, it causes this change in Finn. Finn, by the end of the movie, goes from wanting to jump ship again just to help out Rey to now standing up to his former mentor and Captain Phasma and proclaiming to her, yes, I may have been scum, but I have always been rebel scum. And so that shows his growth as a character. Just something to think about once again after The Last Jedi, and everything that is coming out. So, this is Nerd11 signing out. Hello, Nerd Squadrons, Nerd 11 once again. A couple of other things that just kind of didn't sit right with me when I first saw the movie. And even haven't, fully marinated with me, I guess, settled in yet. The big thing is Captain Phasma. A lot of people have been comparing her to Boba Fett from the original trilogy. How he was introduced in Empire Strikes Back. Technically introduced in the holiday special, but we don't talk about that. In the cartoon for there. But that his first big on-screen appearance was in The Empire Strikes Back. Here's this mysterious bounty hunter. The only one out of all the bounty hunters to figure out how to trace the Millennium Falcon, tracks them all the way to Bespin, to Cloud City, and is what brings the Empire there and makes a deal with Darth Vader to turn the rebels over to him. But he wants Han Solo. That's the only thing that he wants. So he can take him back to Jabba the Hutt, because as Han said at the beginning of the movie, he still has a price on his head, and running into the bounty hunter at Order Mandel was, something that reminded him that, yeah, he may be fighting for the rebellion, but he's a wanted man by the Hutts, by the gangsters. So, but here's this character that everyone just kind of gravitated to, because he was the mysterious gunslinger, to use an old Western terminology, only to then 3 years later have him show up in Return of the Jedi, and everyone's like, all right, here we go, we're gonna see Boba Fett versus Luke Skywalker and the rest of the rebellion. He's gonna be there, the big person that they're gonna have to fight against, and give them problems all the way through to the end of the movie. And a blind Han Solo accidentally bumped into him and knocked him into the Sarlacc pit. Well, there goes Boba Fett. Now, I'm of the belief that Boba Fett made it out of the Sarlacc pit. We know it's speculated that in the Aftermath novels that one of the interludes talks about his armor being found, and now somebody else on Tatooine is utilizing it. Full confession, I have not made it all the way through the very first Aftermath novel. It's one that I've been having struggles with trying to read because of the style of it, but I hope to get to that. That's neither here nor there. But as far as Captain Phasma goes, it has felt like she was drastically underutilized and underdeveloped in the films. Yes, she has her own standalone novel. Yes, we learned more about her in the Journey to the Force Awakens, the stories after the Force Awakens, with Finn, Rey, and Poe Dameron, little stories in that book. And yes, she had her own miniseries on comics that we'll cover down the road. That was the Journey to the Last Jedi big comic. But it wasn't like she had a ton of screen time. Now, this is most likely because of actress Gwendolyn Christie's commitments to filming various episodes for Game of Thrones and that shooting schedule. But we all know that that's wrapping up. So I have a feeling that Captain Phasma really is not truly gone, and that we may still see her in episode 9, which would be very interesting, especially since her helmet is now cracked. And if anyone has read anything as far as her novel, you understand the importance and the significance of her wearing that mask and always being in a mask. So that will be something that I'm anxious to see, if Gwendolyn Christie does return in 9, which would be excellent to see that here's this one villain that they just seem to not be able to get rid of. And she's the excellent foil to Finn, in my opinion. Once again, this is Nerd 11, signing out. Greetings, fellow Star Wars nerds. Nerd11 once again. I've had an opportunity to listen to and watch a bunch of different reviews and reactions to The Last Jedi. And one of the things that seems to, or some of the things that seem to have not have landed with people, but did with me, are things like the appearance of Yoda. Yes, a lot of people really loved Yoda being there and the fact that they went back to using a physical puppet once again, as opposed to the more CGI Yoda character that they used in the prequels. But a lot of people felt like Yoda was a little bit too humorous. Like when he set fire to the Force tree, to that library, and then when Luke went in to go and rescue the books, which we all later found out weren't really in there, and got blown out by the backdraft, Yoda sitting there laughing and kicking his feet and whatnot. So I know a lot of people have commented, at least to me, and some of the ones that I've said, they're like, well, that just didn't sit with them right. They didn't feel like that was really what Yoda would have done or said. But at the same time, I think that ties more to the overall humor that's in the movie. That it was a little bit too on the nose as far as the human humor and too our-worldly humor, such as Poe's humor at the beginning of the movie when he's trying to stall, when trying to contact Hux, and he says, okay, I'll hold, as if he's talking to AT&T operator or something like that. So I know that didn't land with people, but going back to what we saw in The Force Awakens, that's just Poe's sense of humor and how he deals with other, you know, his enemies, when he's in those situations, he's trying to stall to come up with something. He's done the same thing in his comic series that, is out on, and, by Marvel. So, to me, that it landed with me, I felt it was okay. Maybe went a little bit too far when he said that it was about, Hux's mother, but it is what it is. Some people were upset that Maz was in the movie simply as a little cameo. And even then, it was just as a hologram. Yes, I'm pretty sure, just like with Gwendolyn Christie and Captain Phasma not being in the movie as much, Lupita Nyong'o was filming several films all at the same time. As a matter of fact, she's got another one coming out in February with Black Panther. So she was bouncing between different studios just within Disney proper as it is. So I can understand why they kept her role small. I mean, they kind of left it ambiguous as to where she ended up at the end of Force Awakens. But you know what? Just being able to see her. Now, some people were upset that it seemed like it was Poe who was doing the calling to Maz. I think it was more of Poe looking at Finn going, I know you know somebody who can do it, and that Finn's actually the one who comes up with contacting Maz and gets a hold of her. Because if you watch a little bit later into that scene, yes, Finn is the one who's leading those conversations, and but Poe does, you know, pop in every once in a while and says, hey, Maz, well, why can't we do it, type of thing. So to me, it was okay that Maz just had a little cameo. And then the biggest one of them all is the scene of Leia using the Force to save herself after the bridge blows up. A lot of people have said that it looked hokey, that it was bad CGI, and the way it was filmed. To me, that was the second time in the film that I was almost brought to tears. And as soon as she rescued herself, I gave a fist pump the first time that I saw it. So those are my feelings. Just let me know what yours are. Nerd11 signing out. Well, that's a wrap for today. Remember to hit the favorite button if you enjoyed listening to the station. Also, you can listen to full episodes the day after they air here on Anchor by subscribing to the Star Wars Nerds on Apple Podcasts and Google Play Music. Don't forget to join in on the conversation by calling into the station or tweeting at us at @_SWNerds on Twitter. Or you can send us a longer feedback by emailing our trusty astromech, r5n6@gmail.com. Once again, that's r5n6@gmail.com. This is Nerd 11 signing out. May the Force be with you. Yeah.